bless you. It's good to be here. I want to thank Nick and Maria for opening up their home. And we're going to take a look at another section here in Romans. We started off when Steve taught on an introduction to Romans. And then he taught on a section from verse chapter 1, verse 1, up to verse 17. Romans, if you'll remember the way that we started out, Romans deals with man and with his justification by the accomplishments of Jesus Christ. So the question obviously has to come up, why did man need justification? What kind of a situation was he in? What was his legal standing to need justification? Why didn't he just show up and everything was fine? So what we're going to do is, Steve had covered up till verse 17, but what I'd like to do is like to start in Romans 1:16, and we're going to do 16 and 17 to get a little running start, get the context of what we're talking about, okay? So, in Romans chapter 1, we'll get right into it. In verse 16, Romans chapter 1, verse 16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Why? "For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that does what?"
Believes.
Goes to fellowship every Sunday. No. Everyone that does what? Believe, right? That the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by what?" This gospel of God is the power of salvation or deliverance to everyone who believes. The gospel of God that's talking about here is specifically that which concerns Jesus Christ. Okay, the gospel that concerns or concerning Jesus Christ. It tells us that, God, among other things, that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, right? When we believe that, it results in believing. God's given us what to believe. Then when we believe that, then it results in believing. And that righteousness or the justice of God is revealed in that gospel from the foundation of believing to believing. Now, if you've got a ribbon or piece of paper or your finger you can leave here, leave it in Romans because we're going to be back. But we're going to go to Deuteronomy 32. Deuteronomy 32. We need to take a look at something here so we know what the basis is for what we're doing. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Revelation, Deuteronomy. I didn't get it right. Okay, I'll have to check someday. Okay, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 32. Chapter 32, and we're going to look at verses 3 and 4. Deuteronomy 32, verse 3 and 4. Deuteronomy 32, 3. "Because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe ye greatness unto our God." Now, verse 4, you'll see, starts with the words, "He is." And in your King James, you'll see they're in italics. What that means is that the translators added them. So we can take it out and we can read right through verse 3 and run right into verse 4 to hold the thought content. So here we go. Back in verse 3, "Because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe ye greatness unto our God, the rock. His work is what?
Perfect.
All his ways are what?
Judgment.
A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he." Okay, God is a God of truth and a God of iniquity. A God of equity. He's without iniquity. It means he's fair. That's what that means. It means he's fair. God's justice is just. God's judgment is just. Okay, sometimes we talk about justice like the justice of the Wild West or something. That's not what we're talking about. Here we're talking about God's justice. And it tells us that the just will live by believing. Now, let's go back to Romans chapter 1. So, man needs justification. God is just. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. "For the warm fuzziness of God is revealed." Oh, is that what it says? Wait a minute. Hold on. What does that verse say here? What for the what?
Wrath.
The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in what?
Unrighteousness.
So this wrath that we're talking about here is that which is to come on these unjust ones sometime in the future. And it is definitely coming. So, before we go anywhere else, keep your finger here. We're going to go to 1 Thessalonians. We're going to see what happens there. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 1. Right after Genesis. 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 9. 1 Thessalonians 1:9 says, "For they themselves," and what are we talking about? These are the people that believed, okay? "Show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from what?" So they were worshiping idols, but then they turned away from the idols, and they turned to God. Big point here. To serve who? The living and true God. And verse 10, "And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which," or "who delivered us from the wrath," to what? So this wrath that's definitely coming, Jesus delivered us from that. So we know that it's coming. We know Jesus has delivered us from it. But what is it? Is the wrath of God when you have a hailstorm? Is that the wrath of God? When you can't get a parking space at the mall? Is that what the wrath of God? No. The wrath of God had been foretold many years earlier in Isaiah. Little Bible aerobics here today. Mm-hmm. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah. If you get to Jeremiah, it went too far. Isaiah 13. Isaiah 13, and we're going to go to verse 9, and we're going to start there. Isaiah 13, verse 9. Ready? "Behold," Isaiah 13, 9, "Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. For the stars of heaven and the constellation thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine." Wow. "And I will punish the world for their evil, and the wicked for their what?
Iniquity.
And I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to what?
Cease.
And will lay low the haughtiness of the what?
Terrible.
I will make a man more precious than fine gold, even a man than the golden wedge of Ophir." How many people have a golden wedge of Ophir at home? Me neither. It's pretty rare. It's pretty rare. Okay? Not a lot of men are going to make it through this. Verse 13, "Therefore, I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove out of her place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts, and in the day of his what?
Fierce.
Wow. This is a big deal. This does not sound like something I want to buy tickets to. How about you, right? It's not going to be a good deal, right? This is a big deal. But now let's go back to Romans chapter 1, verse 18. Romans 1, 18. And it says that this wrath of God is revealed from heaven against who? The unrighteous, or the unjust ones, the all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. That word "hold" means to hold down, like to suppress. To suppress or to hold down the truth in unrighteousness. Now, this wrath we read about, that's pretty harsh, isn't it? Seems pretty harsh. Why is it so harsh? Look at the next verse. Verse 19. "Because," this tells you why, "because that which may be known of God is manifest in them or manifest among them. For God has showed or manifested it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are with what? There's no excuse. Clearly, there's no excuse here. It wasn't like they had no idea. Gee, I didn't know. They remember, these people were unjust. They were holding down or suppressing the truth. Okay? The words, the things that are made there in that verse, refers to the things that God has made as his workmanship, not what you made in woodshop. Okay? That's not what we're talking about here. Verse 21. Because that, furthermore, why? Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they what? But became vain. The word vain means futile. In their imaginations, and the word imaginations means reasoning. And their foolish heart, the word foolish there means literally senseless. Their senseless heart was what? Darkened. What happens when you don't have any light?
It's dark.
There we go. See, that's why I'm here. It's dark. You can't see where you're going, right? In my house, downstairs in my family room, I have an ottoman, okay? And this thing's been there for 10 years. But if I go downstairs and I don't turn the lights on and I just go into the bathroom, when I come out and I turn the lights out, it's dark. I know that ottoman's there. I know exactly where it is. And every time it seems I come out of there with no shoes on, guess what my little toe finds? The ottoman. Bang! Right into it, right? Why? It's not that I didn't know it was there. It's not like while I was in the bathroom, somebody rearranged all the furniture on me. You know? I just come out and hit the thing because I can't see it. Don't have the light. Their heart was darkened. They couldn't see. There was no light. What does God's word give?
Light.
Light. There you go, right? Now, verse 22. Professing themselves to be wise, they became even smarter, right? No. Professing themselves to be wise, they became what?
Fools.
Fools. And the verse 23, look at this. And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like a corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. The word corruptible means gets worse. It gets worse and worse. It degrades over time. Okay? Cars rust, knees give out, whatever. Things go bad as time goes on. And here they didn't change the glory of the uncorruptible God. They exchanged the glory. So it should read, they exchanged the glory of the uncorruptible God for an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Where have we seen all this before? Put your finger here and go to Genesis. Genesis is easy to find because it's the first book of the Bible. In Genesis chapter 1, I can find that too because it's the first chapter in Genesis. How about that, huh? Figured it out all by myself. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Genesis 1, 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have what?
Dominion.
Rule over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So basically, man exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God to an image of things that originally he had dominion over. Now he's worshiping. Pretty silly, isn't it? That's pretty darkened heart, isn't it? Back to Romans. Oh, wait a minute. Before we do that, let's go to Leviticus. Sorry, it was right next to Genesis. Almost. Leviticus 26. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Leviticus 26, verse 1. What did God think about the idea of making all these images and setting them up and everything? Leviticus 26, verse 1 says, don't make too many idols or great... Oh, don't make more than just a couple. What does it say in 26:1? He shall make how many?
No
idols, nor a graven image. Neither rear you up a standing image, neither shall you set up any image of stone in your land to bow down unto it, for I am the Lord your own. What was the very first commandment that God gave? Thou shalt not wear plaids and stripes. No, that was not the commandment. What was the very first commandment God made? Right, thou shalt have no other gods before me, right? Well, that's what they did. All right, verse back to Romans. Romans chapter 1, verse 24. Wherefore, because they did all this exchanging, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Then verse 25 says, who changed the truth of God into a lie. Can you change truth into a lie?
No.
But you can exchange truth for a lie, can't you? It's exactly what they did here. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature or the creation more than the who?
Creator.
Who is blessed forever. Amen. So there were a few steps here. First, they didn't just wake up one day and said, you know what, let's worship idols. They didn't do that. First they didn't glorify God as God. That was the first thing. Then they weren't thankful. Then they became futile in their reasonings, and then their foolish heart was what? Darkened. So you see it? There's a road down here. Then God says, they called themselves wise, but God said, what did they really become?
Fools.
Fools. I have my lovely assistant here who's going to help me with a little illustration. Suppose I took this, wait, is this water or is this vodka?
Share with vodka.
Water. No, okay. Suppose I took this glass of water. It's water. And I took a very expensive bottle. See? Very expensive. And I poured just a little bit of water in there. Just like that. And then I took this very expensive bottle. And I got some gold beads. And I put them around the bottle, as my assistant is going to do. And then let's say I got a label, a golden label, and I put the label on that. And I put a name on it, like Le Parfum du Temps, right? Good French name. Nice Poland's great. A nice French name. I put a diamond in the label. I got a very fancy stopper for it and everything. What's in the bottle?
Water.
But then suppose I sell it and I say, this is the best perfume in the world. It's $10,000 for this little bottle of perfume. And then I get other people to say, oh, I've tried it and it's the best. And I get famous people to give us testimonies about it. What's still inside? Good old H2O, right? Not even Poland Spring, right? It's good old H2O. That's all it is. Changing the label on the outside, calling it whatever I want to, even getting other people to buy into it, doesn't change what's on the inside, does it?
Nope.
No. Thank you.
You're okay.
Give us a hand. Verse 26, Romans 1:26. Excuse me. For this cause means reason. We just saw what mankind did. God gave them up unto vile affections. Vile affections means passions of dishonor. Passions of dishonor. For even their women did change, and that should be exchanged, the natural use, or their natural function, into that which is what? Against nature. See that? Verse 27. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use or function of the woman, burned in their lust one towards another. That means they were inflamed in their cravings. Men with men working that which is unseemly. The word unseemly means producing shame. And receiving themselves the recompense of their error or delusion. The word error there should be delusion, which was meet or do. Verse 28, and even as they did not like or see fit to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a what?
Reprobate
mind. The word reprobate means unfit. To do those things which are not convenient. And the word convenient means those things which are improper. What are we talking about here? We're talking about homosexuality and lesbianism, aren't we? Okay? You'll notice in these verses that we just read, there's no mention in these verses of alternative lifestyles. There's no mention in the verse of enlightened tolerance. There's no mention, I'd check and see, but I didn't see anything. There's no mention of gay pride or anything that would condone or promote this kind of action, does it? The Bible says that they're passions of dishonor, producing shame or error or delusion. That's what it says. You can label it whatever you want. You can buy into it however you want to. You can get people to testify against it. Still doesn't change it. The Bible says it's wrong. And as a great man once said, you got a problem with that? Take it up with the management. I didn't write the book. So first they started out in idolatry, and then where'd they end up? Homosexuality and lesbianism. That's what it says. Verse 29. Verse 29. Being filled with. They were full of it, all right. Being filled with. Now, we're going to go through all these wonderful characteristics of what they were filled with. They were filled. Somebody's read it. We are filled with all unrighteousness or unjustness. The next word in your Bible is fornication. It's omitted in all the critical Greek texts. The next word is wickedness. You know what that is. Covetousness. That's greediness. Maliciousness. That's badness. Okay? Full of what? Murder. Debate. And that debate doesn't mean you joined the debate club. This is strife. It's factious strife. Deceit. Malignity means malice. Whisperers. They were gossips. Oh, did you see what that one did? And did you see what this one did? Oh, and let me tell you about somebody else. No, that isn't it. Backbiters, haters of God. Slanderous God haters. Remember, they didn't glorify God as God? Slanderous God haters. Despiteful. They were abusive people. Proud boasters. Literally means arrogant braggarts. And I'll bet they weren't bragging about what God did for them, were they? Inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Verse 31. Without understanding, literally means senseless. Covenant breakers, without natural affection. Next word, implacable, is omitted in most of the critical Greek texts. Unmerciful. Who? Verse 32. Who? Knowing the judgment of God, knowing God's standard for justice, that they which commit or practice such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. It wasn't like they didn't know. Look at where they've gotten to. Look at where mankind's gotten to. It's really in a mess. Chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, don't worry about it. Is that what it's? No, that's not what it says. What does it say? Chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, thou art what? There's literally no excuse for you, O man, whoever thou is that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest, do the same things. They're doing the same things. Verse 2. But we are sure, we know, there's no doubt, that the judgment of God, the justice of God, is according to truth against them which commit such things. Now, verse 3 is a question. And thinkest thou this, O mankind, that judgest them which doest this thing and doest the same? Do you think that you will escape the judgment of God? The answer for those of you playing along at home is no. Okay? Okay? The answer is no. They're not going to escape it. We're not called to judge people. Who does the judging? We're not the judges. We're not the lawyers. We're the witnesses. Verse 4. Or, despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the badness of God, the wrath of God, leadeth thee to... Oh, no, wait a minute. That's got to adjust my glasses here. That the fear of hellfire and brimstone will lead... What does it say?
Goodness.
The goodness of God leadeth thee to what? Repent means to change your mind. That's what repentance means. The goodness of God. It's not a fire escape. Okay? The goodness of God. The word goodness there refers to the sweetness and benevolence of God that leads man to repentance. However, much of mankind despised God's goodness, and they stood in judgment of others while they themselves were doing the same things. Verse 5. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, that impenitent means unrepentant, I'm not changing my mind. That's what that means. Treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to what? His deeds. Mankind is laying up a treasure of wrath. That's not something I want to go collect. You know? Why do you want that? But that's what mankind was doing. Some treasure, huh? Verse 7. To them who by patient continuous in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. Verse 8. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, they get indignation and wrath. So there's two ways to go here. The ones who sought glory and honor and incorruptibility by patience of good work, they get eternal life. Or the ones who out of factious strife don't obey the truth, but instead obey injustice, they get indignation or rage and wrath. So let's see. Eternal life, rage and wrath. Eternal life, rage and wrath. What should I go for? Pretty easy decision, isn't it? Once you've got the light of God's word, right? Look at verse 9. Tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile, but glory and honor and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. Verse 11, for there is what? Persons with God. Look at the context of that verse. The context is when it comes to being judged according to man's deeds, background plays no part in it. It doesn't matter. That's the context of that verse. Verse 12. For as many have sinned without the law shall also what? And as many have sinned in the law shall be judged by what? For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be what? For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, then these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts to mean, while accusing or else excusing one another. Now, if you look in your Bible, you see verses 13 through 15 are in a parentheses. See that? And here it's correctly supplied. A parentheses means that this section further explains or clarifies what you've just read. So we can read verse 12 and then go straight through to verse 16 and not lose any of the train of thought. Okay? See that? So here's we're going to do that. So in verse 12, you'll see it says, for as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law, verse 16, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. That's when it happens. Tells you right there. See it? Now, this next section here deals, you'll see in verse 17, it says, "Behold, thou art called a Jew." Now, this section we've seen so far up until now is dealing with mankind in general. In verse 17, there's going to be a section that deals with people that were here in your Bible. It says, "Thou art called a Jew." The word Jew should be better translated Judean. What it means is not someone who follows a particular religion, but in fact someone who could trace their lineage back to one of the 12 tribes of Israel. That's what it means. So the word Judean here is a better explanation of what it is. Okay? So this next section here applies to them. So we're going to skip down to verse 28. We can do that. Verse 28. And it says, and here's the summation of that whole section. It says, "For he is not a Jew," I'm in 2:28, "for he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh." Verse 29, "But he is a Jew which is one" what?
"Inwardly."
Bless you. "And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of" who?
"Man."
"But of" who?
"God."
That's pretty interesting, isn't it? They professed themselves to be wise, but they became what?
"Fools."
Men thought they were wise. God said, "You're a fool." Okay? Chapter 3. Verse 1. "What advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way. Chiefly because unto them," the Judeans, "were continued, committed the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect?" Now that word "faith" there means the foundation for the right way of believing. That's what that word faith means. So, if some people didn't believe, would their unbelief make the foundation for the right way of believing of none effect? Verse 4 says what?
"God forbid."
Now the words "God forbid" are not actually in the text. "God forbid" is a saying. It's an idiom. It's something we just say. Like, we would say, "No way," or "Don't even think about it," right? Or here in New Jersey we'd say, "Forget about it," right? That's what this means. "Forget about it," right? "Yea, let God be true, but every man a" what? "As it is written, thou mightest be justified in their sayings, and might overcome when thou art judged." Now, this section there is a quote from Psalm 51:4. And what it refers to is God and his judgments. So here's a different translation of that verse. "May it not be," or as we would say, "Forget about it. Let God be true, but every man a liar. Even as it has been written, that you, God, may be regarded as just in your words, and may overcome when you, God, yourself judge." That's what that verse means. Want me to read it again? Okay. "May it not be. Let God be true, but every man a liar. Even as it has been written, that you, God, may be regarded as just in your words, and may overcome when you yourself judge." That, by the way, is a translation in the working translation. Verse 5. "For if our unrighteousness commends the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who taketh vengeance? I speak as a man." Now, this section, "I speak as a man," doesn't mean that Paul just decided to throw in his two cents into God's word. You know, he's like, "Hold on, I think I'll just add something here," you know? That wasn't what he did. What it means is this is still by revelation, this is God's word, but this question would be the kind of question that man's logic would come up with. That's what it means. What he's saying here is that what man would say, and the answer to that question is expected to be no. If our injustice commands the judgment of justice of God, what do we say? God who imposes wrath is not unjust, is he? No. He's the one that set it up. Okay, see that? Verse 6. "Forget about it. For then how shall God judge the world?" Verse 7. For if the truth of God hath more abounded through my lie unto his glory, why yet am I also judged in a sinner? Verse 8, and not rather, as we be slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, let's do evil, the good may abound. Let's do evil, the good can come. Is that what they were saying? No, but that's what people said that they were saying. Whose damnation or judgment is just. Verse 9, what then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise, no way. For we have before proved, and that literally means we have previously indicted, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under what?
Sin.
As it is written, there are a few that are righteous.
No.
There's a couple that are righteous? There has to be at least one.
No.
What does it say?
No.
There is none righteous, no, not one. Why did mankind need justification? Because there was none righteous. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become what?
Unprofitable.
But a few of them do good. Some do good. A couple. I'm trying to get man out of this. I can't do it, can I? What does it say? There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. That means an open grave. That's halitosis to the max. That's bad breath. With their tongues have they used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips. Now that's obviously not true to fact. It's a figure of speech. Means their words were subtle, but very, very poisonous. That's what that means. Verse 14, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace are they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Remember the four things that were back in 118? What was the very first thing? They didn't glorify God as God. There was no fear. There's no respect of God before their eyes. Here it is again. Verse 19. And here's the summarization here, the whole section. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be what?
Stopped.
And all the world may become guilty before God. There is no excuse, just you got nothing to say. Verse 20, therefore, by the deeds of the law there shall be no flesh justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge or the acknowledgement of sin. This is the summation of the whole section we've just read. We began with the status of all nations who turned to serve the creation more than the Creator. They didn't glorify God as God. They weren't thankful. Their foolish or vain futile reasonings and their foolish heart was darkened. The Judeans were no better off than the Gentiles in this, because there was none righteous, no, not one. Everybody was completely previously indicted. This status of mankind sets the stage for what's going to be said in regard to the gospel of God concerning Jesus Christ. That gospel, remember, is the power of God unto salvation or deliverance to everyone who believes, first to the Judean and then to the what? The Gentile or the Greek. And in it, God's justice is revealed from believing to believing. And in the next section, we're going to see how God gets man out of the legal mess he's gotten himself into.